Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
There must be something else out there in the world apart from always thinking about properly skilled, good-looking, fantastically nice football players. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, 8th of March. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome to the show, Renegades.
I like being called a renegade. It reminds me of the video game from the 80s called Target Renegade, where you used to be able to kick people off motorbikes.
Oh, nice.
The coolest move in
not any of your
game.
Own clandestine missions that you do.
I'm very much moped based these days.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I've moved to Essex. You know, all right.
Yeah. You and the craze.
Sure.
Yeah.
Have you come off it yet?
I've not come off it, no.
Actually suggests he's a very conservative driver.
Yeah, I mean, is it common to come off a moped?
Very common. Well, at least I did it when I used to have one, yes.
Right.
because, you know, there's cars, they're bigger, people don't look after you very well. Mm. They don't recognise that, like, you're a vehicle too. So they might be like, I'm going to be in your space on the road, and you're actually like, but I'm a vehicle and I'm trying to turn. Bam.
They don't give you the freedom. Oh, freedom. Shaka Hislop's been given the freedom of Newcastle to drag it back to football terms.
Wow.
Has he? He has.
How'd you earn that then?
I think he's just working on the anti-racism campaigns.
What is it?
Les Ferdinand put a lovely video message online this morning. Fantastic.
What does it actually mean?
I don't know. I think you're allowed to go into any restaurant and just with your own spoon and just scoop up people's food and eat it.
Yeah, or just like open a McDonald's and make yourself a burger.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Like freedom in your castle.
We're having a lock-in. We're not.
I imagine.
I've got the freedom of the place, mate, so we are having a lock-in.
I imagined it was like you could like, you know, graze your goats in the middle of the street or something.
Something
you know,
like
you
that,
could just have a horse and just pop it on a lamppost.
Yeah. Good man.
Go look, have a little look around the jail.
Good man. Great X-ray.
Just thinking of what I would do.
Yeah. Like Victorian tourists go into the Bedlam, having a little check. Yeah, it was a bit like that at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last night, I have to say. 5-0 win against Everton. Lovely old job to channel one of our nearest and dearest. Did you both enjoy the game?
To a degree, yeah.
I enjoyed John Pickford's 20th birthday, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he was a sad case.
Yes, he was.
He was a he was a sad case.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of birthdays for Jordan, was it?
No.
But, I mean,
he should probably only have saved one of them.
Yeah, the second one, he could have done better, shouldn't he? But generally, I think he wasn't the problem.
I think that last one, Hurricane's volley, was so forensic.
Good.
It was ridiculous. Beautiful. It was like, even if I was on top form, I wasn't getting anywhere near that. What a finish. Beautiful.
How does he got even just the flexibility to do that to his leg?
My leg doesn't do that.
Doesn't do that. And imagine you just fall, like, not you, you as well, but one would just fall flat on your foot.
I think my leg would just come off if I tried to do that.
It was so great. It was so great.
Yeah.
So I went to watch this one at the stadium and I very kindly took my Everton supporting friend Nick on the other ticket.
I mean, were you both prepared for this outcome?
We were not prepared for this outcome.
Did you enjoy the range of craft ales you can get at the Spurs Stadium?
Actually not drinking for Lent, so it was a thoroughly miserable night all round.
Oh dear.
Sorry again, mate. I think that there's probably something extremely special about watching your side be beaten 5-0 in amongst a whole load of people singing.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever. I think we went to see Fulham, Newcastle get taken apart by Fulham 5-2 or something. And that was that was curious. That was fun because it was just stupid.
Mm.
But this was just depressing for an Everton supporter, I think.
And I think, from his perspective, certainly. It's actually quite a weird, like, again, this is something I think everyone should do, is go and watch a team. Maybe not against each other, but like, you know, we went to Arsenal.
Yeah,
and
you go with a fan of the club.
I wouldn't have wanted to be there for the North London derby.
Oh, God, no.
But I do think it's an interesting experience, generally. But I think the thing was for Everton, and any Everton listeners, sorry, you know, feel free to switch off. Actually, you're probably not even listening, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think it was the moment where they thought, actually, we might get relegated.
Yeah, it felt that way, didn't it? It's just, there were a couple of errors. Obviously, Pickford should have done better on the second goal, as we discussed. Michael Keane needs to be better than that. I know it's difficult with the ball coming in at that pace, but you are a Premier League defender. You need to be able to deal with that situation.
Just angle your body in the right position.
Well, the thing about that as well is, like, who is in charge in the Everton? Where is the spine of it? I mean, is it Jordan Pickford a bit?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of individual errors that make you go, who's their best player? Who's the leader? You can't tell. But what I was going to say was that it looks like, to put it in very simplistic terms, it looks like a game of FIFA where one player is just so much more skilled than the other. Because it wasn't like Tottenham had to work particularly hard to win that comfortably, was it? They could have had more. It was like they decided to sort of take their feet off the pedal a bit at the end.
Conte took Son off, which I think says a lot.
To not overextend and perhaps, you know, guard against injuries. But that makes you worry, right? Are we not good enough for this league? If we're going to get so easily battered.
I genuinely think this performance, I mean, obviously Everton aren't playing very well and they should be greater than the sum of their parts to a certain extent. But they're not, and they're relying on individuals to get them out of trouble. The individuals are misfiring. They're not playing very well. And I said this when Frank signed on. This could be a very public disgrace for a young manager. And Frank doesn't have the squad he had at Chelsea to get him out of trouble in certain situations. And away from home, just stick to the basics.
Yeah.
Why Harry and Crowd? Spurs players high up the pitch when they're just going to beat you on the counter every single time. It's embarrassing. They're so quick, and unfortunately, you just have to defend away from home, and just they're playing like they are already relegated. Everyone criticised rightly Rafa, but he's been around the block a few times, and he couldn't get a note out of that team. Everyone's on mega money. Nobody wants to move on. They've extended the contracts of players who get a couple of good games under their belts, and then they just coast for the rest of the season. It's a real mess, that club.
They've still got problems there as well. Jamie Carragher pointed out in the post-match analysis that Seamus Coleman was beaten pretty easily for that first goal, and that's been a theme this season. Mm. And it's essentially a failing of their transfer strategy that Coleman is still the first choice there. Obviously, he's been a fantastic player for them, but he is looking leggy. Mm. And then you know, the other players around him aren't making up for the fact he's maybe not as quick as he once was. There seems to be that kind of lack of cohesion there. And I do feel for Lampard, because again, he said in the post-match that he wants to play with a black back three essentially, but he doesn't have that option at the moment because he doesn't have
a lot of options.
And yeah, exactly. So that's part of it, but you know, everyone has to deal with injuries at some point. It is a huge job, and we know that he knows that. He was at pains to point out he knows what a difficult challenge it is coming into it. But I think you're right. Whichever one of you was that mentioned it, that like this is the game where it looks like they might actually be serious relegation candidates in that. I still think it's probably going to be the three that are down there now. But then Burnley have escaped so many times that you know, you'd be silly to completely write them off from doing that. So Everton will be looking over their shoulders now. And that kind of performance is just going to rip your confidence to shreds.
They looked absolutely broken after the first... Well, what was it? We were 2-0 up after 17, was it?
Yeah.
And they just... I know body language is a bit of a basic thing to you know, be observing, but it just looked like... And this is why I was interested about who is the leader in this side, because that's where you do need someone to be like, you know, fucking come on. But as Pete was saying, the point about them trying to play a high line against Tottenham, like...
Do
they not have people looking at how sides are playing? Look, Tottenham can be beaten. We've seen it a number of times, or even at least held. Like, I just find that an absolutely amazing basic mistake. But then to be
Man
a bit
City
more,
got it wrong as well. So you know,
yeah, but they could be. You could argue that them trying to play their game is like fine, right? Yeah. I don't think Everton should be. They're not in a position where they can do that. To be a bit more sympathetic to Frank Lampard, you know, you look at the side at halftime. So they go in at halftime 3-0 down, and you look at the substitutes, and you just don't know what he can really do to improve things. I mean, of course, Dele Alli came on and it was quite sweet. I mean, I don't know how friendly we would have been if it had been like, you know, 1-0 Everton at that point, but he did get a right old sing-song of the Dele Alli song.
That's
quite
nice,
a lot of people stood up and clapped him on.
At
the end, Hugo Lloris made him go to the home end and like take his plaudits, because, you know, he left without...
If I was an Everton fan, that...
would piss me off.
This... I would use the word pathetic.
Luckily, no Everton fans are listening today. So, sorry, Dele did actually play pretty well for the, whatever it was, 20 minutes that he was on. Mikhailenko, Ukrainian guy again, also football is nice. You know, people clapped him on and were very supportive of him coming on. He plays left back. So they just didn't have a defence, guys. Mm. I mean, and they didn't have any way of fixing it.
No. I mean, like...
That's annoying after £500 million being spent.
It must be absolutely infuriating, because it hamstrings them going forward as well. They're going to have to sell players.
Hamstrings?
It does,
Is that a word?
Yeah.
You can be hamstrung, but can you be hamstringed?
I guess I can't say it hamstrungs them going forward. So
it's in the spirit of the word, I suppose, yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Grammar, listenership, let us know. but I mean, the fourth goal was almost clownish defending. I know you will have missed that one because of the nature of modern stadiums where they don't let you know that the game's about to restart. Says you might buy another pint, and that's another £7 they can
have. Yeah, why don't they do a little ding dong like a theatre?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, and you get. I thought it was just people being weirdly applausy about the start of the second half. No, no.
It looks bad on the telly, doesn't it? People are like, oh, look, they've not even come out. But you get. They trick you.
They trick you.
Anyway, you know, after you're 3-0 down at half time, you really, really need to start like digging in, change something, be organised, at least be switched on. And then they concede probably the most clownish goal of all of the ones that they conceded, even counting the own goal, really. It was so, so silly.
Yeah.
Like the ball should never have got near to Reguilón, really. Mm. They just look completely shot in terms of focus and I suppose understanding. It was like they didn't know who was supposed to be where. And it's a tough one for Lampard to fix. I mean, he's got to obviously take some share of that because he's been there a little while, all of the criticism for that. I said a few weeks ago Everton are never going down, but that sort of display makes me think it has happened to teams before. Yeah. It reminds me of Leeds, the season they went down, where you look around at every player in that team and you go, okay, they're decent. Surely they'll at least get a move if they go down, or like, surely this is a coherent unit. Yeah. But it doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I think, okay, again, trying to drag some sort of tiny Calvert-Lewin started. That is something that they've been missing.
Yeah.
Richarlison looks kind of lively, but no one could get it.
He's a streaky player, Richarlison, though,
isn't
he?
That's true. You don't want to be relying necessarily on him. Alan was isolated. He's a decent player. And Donny van der Beek actually looked pretty good going forward, but there was just no point because they needed someone to defend. Have we said all the good things about Tottenham? I'll just quickly rattle through.
Just list the team.
Kulusevski, it's awesome that he is in there because it seems like that adds even more kind of penetration to the Kane Son situation. I'm so pleased that Matt Doherty got this like big article in the Athletic about how he's managed to recreate himself under Conte as this like marauding wing back. That was really fun to watch. He had two really good assists. I've talked about Dyer before. Have I missed anything else? It was good. Mm. It was a good performance.
Cheese Hall, was that good? The cheese hall wasn't real, was it?
The cheese hall?
Yeah, wasn't there like a big thing that there was like a cheese hall in the new stadium?
Oh, right. I've never been to the cheese hall.
I don't think it exists.
Oh, well, that's probably why it's difficult. I'm still just keen for the filling up from the bottom pints. But yeah. I went for the hot chocolate yesterday because, of course, we're doing
serious
business this morning.
Yeah, you don't want the trapdoor system on your hot chocolate. Really don't. You don't want that all over your jeans.
Yeah, I've fallen foul of that on the pints. So, yes, so definitely not. And also hot chocolate in football stadiums. Much appreciated because last night was extremely cold. Mm. Molten lava, that stuff.
Yes.
You've really got to let it sit for a while. All right. Bad luck, Everton. I'm sorry. I hope you don't go down, I guess. But it's sad for any team to go down. Speaking of Dele as well, coming back on. Interesting conversation, I suppose, in the context of yesterday, that also Marcus Rashford is considering his future, inverted commas, at Man United over a lack of minutes. He started two of United's last 11 league games. He only missed one of those games through injury. His contract runs out in 2023. The comparison to Ali, I guess, is the idea of him trying to move somewhere else.
Where he's going to get actual game time.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was Rashford, he played something like 59 matches last season. Before his shoulder injury, it was his back. Just
chill.
Enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Sounds to me like, oh, you know what? I missed the lockdown.
Last season he played an average of 4.5, a match every 4.5 days.
Yeah.
Which is just a bit much. I know he's like 24 and obviously he should be able to handle it at that point, but he's had a weird year, and I'll always be Team Rashford. And I don't think there's many clubs that will take his wages. I think he's a very expensive footballer. Was he on 200,000, something
it'll
like that?
It'll be high, won't
it? It'll be in your Castles, your Aston Villas or something, but it's just, he wants to play fine, but it's going to be a difficult conversation, I think. He may have to take a pay cut.
It's odd timing, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you would think, especially with Ralf Rangnick only being there temporarily.
That's Man United. It's tomorrow's promise, though, isn't it? It'll be better next year. Yeah, fine.
Maybe he's had enough of that.
But I'm 24 and I've lived through the worst of it. I'm not playing.
Yeah, and also it's Manchester United that people are just leaking the shit out of everything all the time, I think.
Most of the opinion about Manchester United seems to be, it's Manchester United.
It's Old Trafford.
I think it's Ollie. Back, you know.
Do you? Yeah. Do you?
I'm not sure it's detailed enough.
That's a big take from you. Hey, Nottingham Forest are going to host Liverpool in the FA Cup quarterfinals.
Yay.
They beat Huddersfield Town 2-1. Huddersfield went 1-0 up early doors, although... Well,
although they had a perfectly good goal disallowed.
They had a perfectly good, no yeah. VAR. This is exactly. what you get if you don't yeah, have enough you VAR. Mm. You miss quality and precision.
Is, you know, like that Tom Lee's goal, lovely header from that weird kind of all the players start on the left-hand side of the goal and run towards it, which I like. I like...
A bit rugby, isn't it? Weirdly.
Yeah, I like it when when people sort of go, let's do something mad.
Yeah.
And they should do that every corner, I think. But
synchronised football.
He was wearing a headband. And it reminded me, in the 90s, I've mentioned this before on the show, but Razor Ruddock headband. He had like an Adidas Predator headband. Yes. And I'm thinking, like, he's got a headband on. Are you allowed, like, could you put like a leather...
Or like a spring?
Just like it's anything that could, like, that's a bit dry, that gives you a bit more purchase, like something leathery or something. There must be rules on you can't have, you're not allowed performance-enhancing headbands.
You saying Tom Lee's is a cheat?
I'm just saying that it might have afforded him more purchase, and I'm glad they lost.
He's a meta-human. the story with Predator boots when we were kids was obviously that because they had this particular type of rubber on them, that they made you kick the ball harder.
Yeah.
And the idea was the headband
swerve,
would do the same for
swerve,
headers.
Yeah.
Basically, sort of like, essentially, magic science boots.
But it's, oh God. Okay, I don't believe that, and that is presumably bullshit. But you know, like, all of those magical swimming kits that Olympic swimmers swim in. I haven't got enough detail off the top of my head, right. But there's this idea of these, they banned a certain kind of suit from being in the Olympics because it did enhance your speed too much.
Oh, wow.
I guess that's about aerodynamics and how it's cutting through the water. It could be true about predators. How good at football were you?
Yeah.
Not well enough to ever really touch the ball, so who knows?
You and Lukaku both.
the word predator's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Predators, sometimes good.
Oh, no. So, Huddersfield's 18-game unbeaten run in all competitions comes to an end.
No.
Nice little winner from Ryan Yates, I thought. A nice quality little set piece, free kick into the box. Mm. Slight, kind of a head slice. That's what I thought it was.
It was raucous as well, wasn't it? It was brilliant. And Forest have got Liverpool now, which is
annoying.
It's not annoying.
It's
like,
fun.
Let them do it in the final. Yeah. I want to see Forest. I love Forest.
They've done all sorts of good stuff already, though, haven't they? What did they do? Yeah,
they beat Leicester actually comprehensively.
And
that was the headline, actually, if I remember rightly.
I want a Borough Forest final.
They beat Arsenal.
They did beat Friend. Arsenal.
But look, you know, everyone gets beaten in the FA Cup. Yeah, it was awesome. As a tie, Steve Cooper was a youth coach at Liverpool. So he's going to be taking his side back in glory.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job in this cup run. It's fantastic. So yeah, there is some romance to it, isn't it? But, you know, it's at the City Ground, though. They do make that bit of a fortress. I think the problem is, like, Liverpool, they're going to go for the cups, aren't they? I feel like... Klopp's got he's got the bug for the Cups. It's going to be tougher than to get past that.
Oh, well. Former Nottingham Forest player Neil Lennon took the Mick McCarthy route yesterday to Cyprus. Very nice. Bit of sunshine. Yeah. Appointed the manager of Omonia Nicosia. Newcastle legend John Carver. Are you going to tell me about this?
He's not been given the freedom of the city.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, no.
There must be criteria to return to that original point. Anyway, he also managed Omonia in 2016.
I feel like there's a brochure. Do you know what I mean? For like,
Come to
the older English manager, like the Cypriot League. There's a breakdown of each team.
Yeah,
come and manage out here for a bit.
Right, it's time for a break. Back in a sec.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
There's more to Irish history than St. Patrick. And Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes are here to tell you all about it on We're Not Fucking Historians, the Irish history podcast with a few facts and plenty of crack, like the legendary Irish warrior, Cú Chulainn.
Some sources say he killed a dog by driving a hurling stone down its throat. Now he's six. Hazel, did someone say the naughty step?
Jesus, someone went to bed without supper, didn't they?
Someone called Super Nanny because he's at it again.
Or Ned Kelly, Australia's infamous Irish-born bush ranger.
Punishment was imprisonment with or without hard labour.
I'd prefer without.
If possible. Like, if it's going. Do you have any without hard labour?
Yeah, can I have the without labour substitute, please?
Can I get the hard labour on the side?
Can I get almond instead of hard labour, please?
Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians in your favourite podcast app for weekly episodes every Tuesday.
Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Obviously very disappointed with the performance today.
Absolute shit.
Fair enough.
What was that? I want to know what that is right now.
It was John M's post-match. But I imagine
spectacular
he
stuff.
Did he?
He didn't mean to say that on a recording.
Shit.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Fucked off with Crawley Town, he was. Anyway, Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Pete, and Jim with you today. And now it's time for some tasty little email.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show@footballramble.com.
Got a message from Alastair. Further to your chat on Thursday about tapas, where Andy said they are only free in Granada. I've lived in Madrid for 25 years, and I can tell you the tapas are usually free everywhere in Spain. That's what a tapa is.
Breaking news. That is awesome. Let's get out there.
In Madrid, it's usually just a small plate of cheese, olives, chorizo and ham. In others, it's like Granada. It's the variety and amount is far greater and thus possible. It is possible to eat out for free just by ordering several beers. Tapa means lid from the verb tapir, meaning to cover. As originally a piece of bread with a bit of food was placed over your drink by the waiter to stop flies or sand falling in. Sand, right? Yeah. In the 16th century, a Spanish king decreed that innkeepers had to serve a small amount of food with each alcoholic drink to reduce drunkenness. Hasn't worked with the English tourists on the Costas.
Sand, could it be like, you know, on the floor of English pubs they used to have sand or wood chipping, so that if you're like pissing on the floor or whatever,
sand
it's fine.
Sand is on the flies falling off of them. Who knows?
Sandflies, yeah.
Big flies. This is absolutely an amazing email from Alistair. I think he could be our grammar man as well, given how knowledgeable he is. But I'm actually, it's come a bit late for me because I had tapas for lunch yesterday and I, in fact, paid. Should have just done a runner and been like, oh, I thought I was in Spain.
Yeah.
I thought I was in Spain. I thought this albondigas was free.
What a confusing excuse that would have been. Lewis has been in touch. He says, hey, Ramble, hoping you can help. Our new flatmate, Jordan, keeps playing Hi-Ho Silver Lining every time he walks in after work. It's like living in a Brummy WWE special. Apparently, this is something to do with you guys giving him some advice. To be clear, we all love football, just can't stand Villa. How do we make this stop? Thanks, Lewis.
I love it.
Oh, dear.
Sorry about that, I guess.
Sorry, Lewis.
Yeah, I don't know how you make that stop.
No.
Do you think different tracks?
Different tracks.
We were trying to like subliminally message in Villa, weren't we?
Yeah. Sing over him.
But it might be that if you do that, people just become hate it more. We hadn't considered that eventuality. No.
Flush your food down the toilet.
Okay.
Yeah. That would upset me enough to
leave.
Evict myself.
Probably block your toilet as well.
Probably block your toilet.
There's a lot of, you know.
All right, set fire to it in the garden.
There's a lot of fallout to that one, I think.
You know what I think that proves, unfortunately, something we knew all along. So we're not really that well equipped to give advice.
No.
Because you've got to consider all the angles.
Tomorrow we will be because it's pep talks.
Yeah. Look, yes, this came from, oh, I mean, presumably, this came from the advice we gave to try and allow people to love Villa a bit more. But it doesn't.
Well, it was actually from the advice for Jordan was claiming to move into a flat full of people who didn't like football. He was trying to indoctrinate them. That turned out to be a lie. So
Never mind.
Never mind. I think the only answer then is for him to move out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have to evict him. By defenestration, if necessary.
Pep talks tomorrow, everybody.
Get them in!
Get them in! Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble.
It's time for this, guys.
I prefer to kill him.
Oh, yeah! It's time for Pop Antonio Conte. Vish did one last week. We found it very hard to get into work last week, and we were sort of playing in our respective cars, me and Vish. And Vish's bonus Pop Antonio Conte last week was, of course, Garfield of Dreams. So thank you very much to everyone who tweeted that in, saying, I've got it! I've got it! Well done. Well done. Vish is very pleased with you. You have the freedom of Vish City. Right?
I think one thing we know from Vish is that he should concentrate on the road a bit more. So I'm actually not sure we should be supporting that, but it was a giddy.
True facts. Right, it's time for Pop Antonio Conte. Two footballers mashed together. All you two need to do is figure out who the bloody hell I'm talking about. And these both clues come from Matt Woods. Thanks, Matty Dubs. Are you ready?
No.
Cool. I'm a current Premier League manager who played 504 times in the league, and I received a suspended jail sentence of nearly 3 years for firing a gun in a hospital while on loan in Turkey from Barcelona.
Frankie Lampard. Oh, Jim's doing that face. Who's fired a gun? I got no idea.
Hospital on loan in Turkey.
It's kind of...
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
Steven Gerrard de Turan.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that was never going to get that. I didn't know that Turan had done that.
Yeah. Look, Turan did, and that's the main thing.
Why were you so sure it wasn't Frankie Lamps?
I wasn't.
Current Premier League manager, played 504.
Can you be a bit more supportive next time? Because you really knocked my confidence with that role.
The thing is, I struggle to tell when it changes from one player to the next.
Right.
So I was trying to decipher.
That's a Pop Antonio, baby.
Yeah.
All right, do the next one so we can embarrass ourselves on that as well.
This really is the lacrosse of the games that we do on the show. In that it's
confusing.
Too hard to function.
Yeah. I'm a Brazilian who has recently converted from useless hitman to midfield engine, and I managed Granada in 2017, 7 losses in 7 games before the sack.
Useless hitman,
Joe
did you
Linton.
Say?
It's going to be Joe Linton, someone.
Yep. I managed Granada
before the sack.
2007, 7 losses, 7 games.
Phil Neville.
Did a funny little dance.
No.
Did a funny little dance in training.
Alibardi.
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
Joe Lintoni Adam.
I think there are probably
better
ways
ours
to describe Tony Adams there.
Yeah, that is really actually quite unkind. All right. Well done. Thanks, Woodsy.
Well done, everyone.
Nice.
Not that.
I prefer to kill him.
Bam!
We feel dead. So thanks for that. Yeah. Nice one. Thanks. We always appreciate you sending stuff in, even if we can't.
Even if we're really bad.
Even if we can't cope with any of
body parts, sweets, whatever you want.
Boy parts.
Body parts, not boy parts.
It's been a long time since we've got meat, hasn't it?
Not been sent any mystery meat for a long time. If Pepper Army is listening, I will devour your meat.
Be your tester.
I will test any tube of meat.
Will people eat this? Will they stand for this? Send it to Pete.
Cheese strings. I'm on for that.
We're not under EU rules anymore. I will have anything.
Cheese strings. Did you actually ask for the meat originally?
No, we just turned up and I ate it all. Yum, yum, yum.
Strange days.
My stomach still hurts. Cool.
Good. So, look, interesting one we wanted to talk about in terms of the terrible, terrible situation in Russia and Ukraine. FIFA announced yesterday that players in Russia can suspend their contracts and temporarily leave the country as a result of Russia ongoingly invading another country. This is a kind of a weird halfway house on what FIFA Pro wanted doing, as I understand it, because basically quite a lot of players don't feel like they're going to necessarily want to go back on July the 30th, I think, when it's upheld till.
Yeah, well, that's the situation, isn't it? That it's a temporary, they're temporarily being released from those contracts, but we don't know what the situation is going to be like in July. That sort of uncertainty hanging over these players is ridiculous and unfair. The way things seem to be going, you know, I don't think things are just going to be back to some sort of semblance of normal by July. And as you say, why should they want to go back into that situation? It's very, very volatile. You can't...
Because you're representing a country a bit choosing to play your football there.
You're representing a warmongering country as well. And you might not... You almost certainly won't want to do that. It seems absurd. They should be able to cancel those contracts, really. It's easy for me to say that, though, without a kind of 360-degree understanding of contract law. But I think as much as is possible, FIFA Pro need to keep pushing on this because it's about the potential safety of the players as well.
Yeah.
And Krasnodar, I think last week, suspended the contracts of loads of foreign players. Remy Kabayez training with Montpellier, late of Newcastle's Parish. But and I think clubs are allowed to sign two players who have taken advantage of this particular suspension. But it kind of doesn't solve anything because Russian contracts invariably end and begin in sort of December, January anyway. So it doesn't really make any sense. So there's going to be like vast swathes of their contract unrepresented in this particular ruling. And I wonder if any of these kind of clubs in everywhere in Russia, if you've signed a contract, you know, like anything can be put in a player's contract. So then, well, I want to play for a club that plays regularly in the Champions League. If they've been chucked out the competition because of the invasion, where does your contract sit in that? It's out of all of the messes in this situation, it's the smallest and least important mess. But these are people's lives that you need to think about on both sides. So, yeah, it's no doubt we'll be hearing more about that, and no doubt we'll be hearing more about FIFA and UEFA underwhelming in their scope and ambition.
It's like one step forward, a few steps back.
But then you don't know what's tied up with like you said, Jim, what contractual law is in place in Russia, and obviously Russia is a Putin-led endeavor at the moment. So yeah, who knows?
Yeah, because it's effectively the same as what's happened to the Ukrainian players in Ukraine. Sorry, not Ukrainian players, but the players who are playing their football in Ukraine. Because you saw those Brazilian guys getting out of there in the last few days as well. And I suppose the thing that it emphasizes for me is that so Daniel Farker, he was going to manage Krasnodar, who you just mentioned, and he resigned. So he joined in January, and in the context of what's going on in Russia, he resigned without managing a game in the end. But in his, you know, he's a guy who's managed in the Premier League. He's got funds behind him. Presumably, he's also got somewhere to go. Whereas some of these players, you know, of course, we're talking still in many cases about top level players. But as we know, the difference between what you can do if you're a Premier League player in terms of funds and resources and how you can get to places and the kind of influence you can have is very high if you're in the Premier League. But it's not going to be the same if you're kind of a jobbing player who's maybe had to go and play in Russia. And that's why they need their support. It's not the same as when we think, you know, I think in this country, Pete, we tend to think of footballers as being these guys who've got like a million endorsements and the ear of the president or however you want to characterise it. Not that one. So in this case, yeah, you're right. They need to be looked after. And it seems as though that is a bit of a sham solution at this point. Ukraine's World Cup playoff semi-final against Scotland, which was due to be played at Hampden at the end of this month, has now been formally postponed. They're trying to find a new date. I don't really know. I mean, as if anybody knows, but I'm not sure, yeah. Jim, what you think about that, because as always with these kind of international football situations, it seems like they're trying to do like a sort of nice, quote unquote, thing, but with the football calendar being so crammed.
Yeah, there's talk it will likely happen kind of near the Nations League window, right. Which obviously, it's going to have to be imperfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just simply going to have to be. There needs to be some sort of fairness to Ukraine. Well, it may even be that they don't play at all. We just don't know, do we? It's very, very difficult to know how this is all going to pan out. And also, it's this whole, the whole situation with Russia being denied the chance to compete that will go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport as well. And they're trying to bring that forward before the time where those playoff games are supposed to happen. So I think FIFA are actually a little bit nervous about that because, you know, everybody can refuse to play and do the things that they're doing. But by the sounds of it, FIFA are a little bit nervy about the legal challenge because it is a lot more complicated than just saying, no, you can't do that, which everyone should do, absolutely. But it is, of course, you know, the governing bodies that have to deal with the legal framework of it. So
yeah, and fighting your corner is expensive, and FIFA they're bereft
exactly,
of funds,
yeah,
aren't they?
Exactly.
It is actually, won't someone think of FIFA at this point?
I know. Exactly.
So it means the playoff final for the winners, of course, that's against either Wales or Austria. That's now going to be delayed as well. Tonight, we have Champions League action for you lovely people. Bayern versus Salzburg. They're 1-1 at the moment. Oh, come on, Salzburg.
Mm.
Let's do this. I'm so keen to see Salzburg go through.
Just to make it clear, BT Sport will be
not
showing.
Us. We don't have any. Like, and also, we wouldn't, would we, Pete? We would never. We would never do anything illegal to watch football.
No, never.
So I'm glad I've made that formally clear. Liverpool are 2-0 up against Inter. They got a full squad for the game after Jurgen Klopp confirmed that Roberto Firmino, Joel Matip and Fabinho have all returned to training. Inter defender Alessandro Bastoni was full of big talk. He says, "If you are scared to play in these games, it is not the right job for you. I can't wait."
Imagine being a footballer.
And he's 22.
Like
22.
Yeah, going to Anfield, of all places as well.
Smashing
stuff. But he's right. You've got to feel that way, haven't you?
Yeah, fantastic.
Otherwise, you're going to get dicked on, as we saw last night.
No, I think, okay, I wouldn't call it a direct comparison, because I don't think that just positive mental attitude would have helped those players.
No, but it certainly would have been a factor towards helping, wouldn't it?
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, well, what if they'd been like attempting even more shit pot, like ambitious passes.
Maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe
we could have
got
the 9. I was so cruelly denied.
I sent an email to an 11-a-side team in my area that I deigned by watching their highlights
on
YouTube.
11-a-side teams in your area?
Yeah, exactly. I watched them on YouTube and I was like, you look a bit porny. I reckon I could possibly...
Pony, not porny, just for our southern listeners.
Bigbangers.co.uk. And I basically said, I'm not very good, but I am keen. And I was like, I'm a 40-year-old man going, I'm not very good, but please let me play. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Well, you can check them all out now, can't you? All teams have...
All teams, all absolute Walter teams film themselves and put them on the internet and go, it's Baz with an absolute 30-yard screamer.
Yeah.
It's like, was it, mate? The keeper was on the floor covered in mud.
Yeah.
Rubbish. But I would like to play some football.
Right in, if you can cope with Pete's level of football. Pete's brand of football, we should call it.
Anywhere in Essex, I'll drive to.
Nice. Liverpool had a bit of a tricky time against West Ham on Saturday. But, in fact, I should say, Jurgen Klopp has cast some doubt on staying beyond his current contract. He said...
He'll have to sign another one. You can't just hang around.
Well, yeah. He says, for now, he doesn't have a plan beyond 2024, which is when it expires. He says, if I have the energy levels for it, I love what I do, but I've said a couple of times, there must be something else out there in the world, apart from always thinking about properly skilled, good-looking, fantastically nice football players.
This seems to be a bit of a trend, doesn't it, with the modern manager. We saw Ralf Hasenhüttl talking about it a little while ago. Pep Guardiola has, you know, has made kind of intimations in the past that suggest he might retire like early compared to what we expect of a football manager. Because it feels like the proper football man becomes a manager at about 38 and then retires at about 75. Yeah. You know? But it seems to be changing that people are just like, you know what, this is too much. It's knackering. I quite like it. Keep it fresh.
I like the idea that Klopp genuinely is gonna, I don't know, become like an aid worker or something. You know, he's gonna go, or he's gonna go to the UN and fix it all.
You reckon? Yeah.
Well, I think that's what he's implying, isn't he? He's saying like there's more to life than this.
Well, there has
just
to
having
be
a nice time with nice football.
And I think the modern football manager, like your Bielsa's and your Peps, it's just too much. Like you become a weird robot football cyborg, yeah. And when it goes wrong, you're like, I've thrown everything I possibly can. I spend every waking hour when I'm on holiday in New York. I'm coaching some kids in the park because I'm a sick weirdo.
Not like that.
Not with the kids.
It wasn't even a park. It was an indoor tournament.
An indoor tournament.
So he sorted it out.
So it's kind of like you. When it goes wrong, you're like, I've dedicated every last second. And it's going wrong. It's going awry. The players aren't doing what I say they should do.
I'm a meme.
Fuck this. I'll go on holiday for a bit. Lovely. Yeah.
In football Borg world also, a new feature for the Ramble that I'm announcing now, it is Michael Owen's Crypto Corner. Yeah. Michael Owen, never one to miss a new trend, I think, as I'm sure we all in this room recognise and all the listeners at home as well. He has said some useful stuff within the context of all of these questions around whether footballers and football clubs should be backing cryptocurrency, should be encouraging the common man to spend their money on something so volatile that in the case of the certain partners, it has been, or certain elements within crypto, it has been deemed illegal in this country. I'm not saying that's what Michael Owen is dealing with, but what he does say is that looks to me, this is his Twitter, like blockchain is here to stay. I've been involved in football my whole life, and I'm now working with blockchain specialists, I can't pronounce that, on a really exciting new football project. Hashtag blockchain, hashtag crypto, hashtag NFT, hashtag football, hashtag...
memories. There's always something particularly weird in a weird little Mickey Owen tweet, isn't there? And like, looks to me like blockchain is here to stay.
Looks to me. Come on, Michael.
Like, it starts with looks to me, ends with hashtag memories. This is an all-time great Michael Owen tweet.
But they did point like Manchester City, their new crypto sponsor, offering a banned product to UK consumers. That's a thing that you were mentioning earlier on.
Yeah.
But you think that Man City would be a little bit more careful about unpredictable purchases after Jack Rodwell and that's kind of sort of going, your investments can go up and can get injured for three seasons and then just ship off.
Well, he's an NFT now.
He's an NFT. A lot of footballers who've gone through Newcastle's ranks should have been NFTs, I think.
Instead of footballers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Good. Great point. Go over to, we've got some more football content for you. Yes, we have. And it probably won't have any NFT chat in it. Don't know. Football Ramble presents today. It is the day for Upfront. Flo, Rachel and Chloe are looking back on Man City's shock win against Chelsea in the Conti Cup final. And to mark International Women's Day, guys.
Yeah.
You didn't say happy International Women's Day to me, did you?
Happy International Women's Day.
I feel so slighted.
Crypto Day.
Happy Crypto.
It's happy Shaggy Hislop Freedom of the City Day, thank you.
Happy Michael Owen Day. They're also celebrating the women that have inspired them in the football world. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. All right, friends, on tomorrow's show, it is Jules Vish and PD Donaldson. Again, he's doing the dark triad of Football Ramble episodes.
A hat trick of Donaldson hits.
What are you going to bring tomorrow, Petey?
I'll probably register another website and redirect it to Marcus's house.
Don't give it away.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, can you bring the fox laughing tomorrow?
Oh, there's a lovely video of a fox laughing online. If you want to see it, give us a tweet. I'll send it to you.
And you're not going to bring anything because you're just...
I'm not here, no.
Dicking about somewhere in North London.
Yeah, I absolutely will be doing that, yeah.
All right, have a lovely time, Jim.
I will.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you, Pete. Nice to see you, listeners. Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.